Bros Pod is brought to you by Bet Online. It's that type of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at Bet Online. So head to our website and use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Take advantage of their opening day super promo where you make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Bros Pod is also brought to you by Balance 7. So I don't know if you've heard, but apparently former NBA player Lamar Odom may be returning to professional basketball in Spain soon. He's been taking a new product he owes all the credit to, Balance 7. Balance 7 is a pH balancing alkaline supplement drink. You can see how Balance 7 has helped. He looked great in his celebrity boxing match versus Aaron Carter. So head to balance7.com and use the code BELIEVE for free shipping. Again, that's balance7.com and use the code BELIEVE for free shipping. If it worked for him, it can work for you too. So coming up, Bill and I will talk about the latest news in sports, particularly in the NFL. Cam Newton was obviously, as everyone has heard by now, he was cut by the New England Patriots and Belichick. So we'll talk about how that went down and where we think Cam might end up next. We'll also talk about all the NFL rookie quarterbacks that will be starting and the differences among them. And also we'll talk a little bit of U.S. Open up through the quarterfinals. But first, Steve Wilson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another version, another year, another season of Bill Roden on Sports here in Midtown Manhattan, high above the fray, as we're eagerly anticipating the beginning of yet another football season. Hold it down here with my co-host and good friend, the great Jamal Murphy. Murph, what's up?
What's up, Bill? Everything's good over here. I'm just watching some good U.S. Open tennis. A lot of good tennis today.
Really?
Yeah.
How could it be somehow good if Serena's not playing?
I don't know, man. You got Sloane Stephens. She's still fighting to stay alive. You got Osaka still in the game. On the men's side, you know, is always a little more boring.
No brothers at all.
Well, you got Tiafoe.
Right.
He's still alive. I think he has a tough matchup today. He could be gone today. We'll see. A lot of entertaining stuff going on.
But why do you think it's been so tough for black men? I mean, I don't think there's not been a black U.S. Open, a Grand Slam, black men's winner since Arthur Ashe. I think that's the stat.
Why definitely American, because Yannick Noah, I think, won one, right. After that. But,
you have to go deep in the barrel.
Hey, man. I claimed him too when he was winning. I was rooting for him, you know, back in the day.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You had to, yeah.
You know, so I feel like, you know, we talk about this, you know, definitely U.S. Open, and you know, I think part of it is that, you know, the American black men have so many sports to choose from, and tennis is not looked at as one of the cooler sports, maybe, I guess. You know, so they don't get the best of the athletes. But I'm starting to notice in the last year or so, you know, there's some more like Tiafoe, like you mentioned, but also worldwide, There are a couple of guys I've noticed. So I would predict in the next couple of years we'll see, we're gonna see some more black guys, you know, worldwide. Maybe not Americans, but worldwide, doing some damage in tennis.
I guess we'll see. It's been a long time.
That's true. That's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I mean, because you say they have so much to choose from, like so much, like what? Not hockey.
Well, not basketball. Baseball. Football. Well, that's true. Not
basketball.
I guess it's just basketball, football. Basketball, football. What else? Is there anything else?
So much.
What am I forgetting?
Not golf.
I feel like I'm forgetting.
Not soccer.
All right. You put it like that. That's true. That is true. I got to think of some more sports. But basketball, football. What else do we play?
I don't know. Even skateboarding. Were we even skateboarding at the Olympics?
No, I don't think so.
Like they inventing sports to keep us out of, you know.
Nah, you're right.
And then you look at football, and just when we are celebrating the rise of the black quarterback, remember the undefeated, we did the whole series on right. The rise of the black quarterback, and here we go, and blah, right. blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And even last week, we talked about the rise of the black quarterback, and typically, as has always happened in black history, whenever there are black games, there's automatically a backlash. So yeah. we're talking about all these black quarterbacks, and it's almost as if the white powers that be said, fuck that. So now on opening day, you're going to have three white quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks starting, and the three brothers are like on the bench. You know, they're not quite ready, almost not right. quite ready. You got Justin Fields.
Right, he's not ready.
Chicago. Trey Lance, not quite ready.
Trey Lance, not quite ready. But then you got Trevor Lawrence. He's ready. You know,
he's ready now.
He barely had a competition. And Mac Jones, right. He's ready. He's more ready than Cam Newton.
Right. They sent Cam Newton. Pat, that's how ready he was. Not only did you beat Cam out, we're gonna fire him just so you don't feel intimidated.
Right.
You know, and so I think for anybody who thinks this whole black quarterback thing is over, you know, it will never be over. You know, I think, you know, it kind of parallels this white fear about, you know, they say in 10 to 15 years, white people will be a minority.
Right.
And if you look at the NFL with the way it's trending, you know, with black coaches, you know, who have formed this really deep talent pool should be at least half the head coaches. Black quarterbacks should be, it should be at least looking like the defensive secondary.
Right.
So it's almost as if, you know, people say, oh, now, you know, these white coaches, they want to win. So well, I think it's not the white coaches. I think it's the fan base. That's the fan base always, you know, and I think that there's this ongoing fear of being left behind, of having like one day looking up and one day, half the black quarterbacks in the NFL starting are black and their backups are black. And, you know, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, there's always defense being played as you always mentioned in terms of the racism that's out there. If black people take a step forward, they're ready to push us back. I mean, it just, when you were talking about that, it's just I started getting depressed thinking about voting rights, you know, and voting laws, man. You know, I mean, it's just,
crazy. That's, you're right. It's a microcosm. You know, you have this tremendous black turnout, and sure enough, they keep the lie up that it was stolen. And now let's see how we keep as many black folks from voting as possible. Let's move the goalposts. Let's change the rules. Let's redo the districts. Let's gerrymand. You know, it's, I guess that's one thing you have to tell young folks, man, is that this shit is never over. You
right.
know, you can never relax because it's just nonstop. Whether it's the NFL, I don't know what they're going to do about the NBA. They may have just thrown up their hands and we just won't watch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, slightly different fan base in the NBA, you know, probably more inner city based or city based. But yeah, man, I think, you know, and never underestimate the intensity of the other side,
right.
You know, how invested they are to order to hold other people back.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, well, privilege is real. You know, we talked about that in terms of stories that have happened in the media, white reporters in the media, you know, that privilege is real, and people do not want to give up power or privilege, you know, nobody.
Right. And you know, just getting back to the quarterback thing, I mean, you know, like you said, like the whole thing is, oh, we're past it. We got all these, you know, black quarterbacks taking over supposedly. But when you really look at it, and we talked about this last episode, is the numbers don't really say that. I mean, it seemed like there are more of them. I guess seven, eight or nine is a lot. But that's still only a quarter of the NFL. You know, when you look at it, and then, you know, looking at the young kids coming in, it's like, I mean, there it is for you. And I know there are, you know, every case has special circumstances, and I guess you can justify it here or there and say, maybe, you know, it doesn't really represent the true story, but it probably does. Because when you look at these white quarterbacks, like you said, Trevor Lawrence, great college career, played, you know, 3 years at Clemson. He comes in, he's the number one pick. Okay, he starts right away. There's really no question about it. Justin Fields was on his same level from high school into Ohio State. He did everything he was supposed to do at Ohio State. He comes in and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we need, you know, we don't want to rush him. He needs to sit back and learn the game, that'll help him in the long run. Maybe it's a good thing for him, but when you look at society or the NFL and how this stuff works, you know, Trevor Lawrence jumps right in. They trust him with the starting job. Fields, not so much. Then you got Mac Jones. They trust him with the starting job. He only played 1 year at Alabama. Okay. They trust him with the starting job. But when it comes to Trey Lance, oh no, we gotta wait and see.
Let him learn about Jimmy G. And the thing that I always pay attention to is the language from the media, from the TV booth, the language around white quarterback.
Right.
Like even with Matt Jones, they started out talking about, man, this kid, you know, he's got a whiteboard in his room and he's just constantly studying, you know, starting that nonsense again, you know. And everyone, Andy Dalton, you know, this guy's just, he sees it before it even happened,
right,
you know. And what's the name, Lawrence, you know, this kid's just got the it factor. He's had ever since high school.
Right.
And I just think that when you listen to how they talk about these white quarterbacks, and given the racism and the animosity traditionally between white men and black men, for them to have to talk about black people like that, using those terms, man, really, just really so intelligent, really such a great leader, really just has all the character, really has all, you know, it's just, they would never just talk about black men like that. It's always, you know, even with Russell Wilson, at some point they talk about his, you know, even Mahomes, his throwing angle. It'll be the physicality of it, you know.
And so remember, they made Mahomes sit out a year. And, you know, and then, you know, you could say, oh, well, he benefited from that and had, you know, he played so well after the fact, it must have helped him. But it also shows maybe he would have been ready earlier. I mean, if he's that good, you can't tell me that all these other guys who aren't as good as him, who were thrown into the fire, you know, but he, you know, he needed to sit back and wait a year behind Alex Smith, you know.
Alex Smith, who's not
buying it.
In the league anymore.
And
that gets back to the tragedy of racism. Because just think about, had they gotten religion about black quarterbacks 30 years ago, we'd have been 30 years ahead. Game would have already moved, you know, instead, inch by inch, you know. Not only do you ruin lives and break spirits, but you basically retard the game. We could have been way ahead. We could have been here like 30 years ago, you know, had you just giving people a fair opportunity. So I know a lot, well, not our listeners, this is what they expect, but anybody else tuning in is, oh, come on, Jesus Christ, what are you talking about? You know?
So
we'll see it. You're right. In the sake of Cam, did he bring that? How much of that did he bring on himself? Clearly Deshaun Watson,
right,
you know, a tragedy. How much, you know, clearly did he bring on himself?
Right.
Which is a legitimate conversation with, you know, Cam, not being vaccinated. Belichick claims that him might not being vaccinated had no, you know, no role in all this kind of
I'm
stuff.
I'm not buying that one. I mean, if it were me, I would take it into account.
Okay? Right.
And we've talked about Lamar Jackson a couple of weeks ago. Cam, you know, said he said he's not vaccinated. Oh no, I don't think he said that. But based on the protocol he was forced to take once he was suspended for five games. You know, he couldn't be around the facility for five games a couple right. of weeks ago
because he wasn't vaccinated.
Right, and that right. protocol only is applied to non-vaccinated players. So, I mean, yeah, he hurt himself there, and you know, because you need to be reliable. You can't go into the season. If I'm Belichick, I don't want to go into the season with a guy because he hangs around the wrong person. Then, you know, he's not able to play on Sunday, you know, and I only have 3 days notice. So I think right. that has to play a role. Interesting thing about that situation is Belichick basically, to me, it's almost like he can't admit that. Because remember, Urban Meyer said
he did kind of say that, right?
He said that, and then the NFLPA kind of came after him.
Right. That's right. You can't, yeah. Yeah, you know, and with Cam, remember last year, he got out that great start, you know, a great start. Then he came down with COVID right. and was never the same. This time, you're going into the preseason, and all of a sudden, you know, you miss 5 days of practice.
Right.
You know, so, and that is a tough part about that. You got to be available. So that's the tough part. If he were a white quarterback, but then you got Indianapolis, the guy in Indianapolis, Wentz was doubling down on it, you know, not being vaccinated, the whole rationale, you know, the guy in Minnesota,
Cousins,
the Minnesota Viking Cousins, you know, so I don't know, so we'll see. What do you think that he might land? That's the discussion now, Cam. Where is he going to land? Baltimore, you know.
I think people was, you know, Dallas was the hot spot for him, you know, to back up Dak because Dak's coming in off an injury. First of all, Jerry Jones of all people is like forcing the entire team to get vaccinated, so you got to give Jerry Jones props for that. You mentioned Houston that they need to be taking your boy Tyrod Taylor's spot. He'll never. Tyrod Taylor can't catch a break if
poor Tyrod Taylor. There. First the team doctor punctures his lung. You know. Now you get the shot at Houston, and then they're going to bring in Cam Newton.
right. So I think you know. I mean, it's kind of late in the game as far as you know the first game of the season. All these starting quarterbacks have been named. Teams are pretty much set. I think maybe Cam has to wait until there's an injury. I think the first time there's a major injury, he'll be called up. Because the funny thing about the preseason
unless it's Matt Jones, you think Belichick would do that?
No, Cam.
I think Belichick, he just couldn't bring himself to do it.
Yeah, who knows? But the interesting thing about Cam is that he actually had a good preseason, and I'm not gonna lie, Mac Jones looked good in preseason. Right. You know, I watched some of the preseason games. I was like, damn, Cam has some real competition here. But Cam actually played well. Also, he showed he can still throw the ball. It's preseason. You know, Cam has actually accomplished things in the NFL. I mean, I thought that's why I thought, based on the experience factor and based on Belichick wanting to win right away, I thought he would stick with Cam. You know, again, who knows how much the COVID and the vaccine thing played into it. And
maybe Cam felt it wasn't good for his brand to be a backup, to be walking up and down side with a clipboard
right.
and back at his rookie. And you were like the great Cam Newton. Does that hurt his Twitter following? Is that a good look? You got to think, is this really how I want to go out carrying the clipboard you know, with a towel around my neck?
At age 32, he's not even that old. Yeah, man. Age 32 and
washed up.
Yeah. And he had to, you have to figure he thought he, in his own mind, he won that competition. You know, he played well. He had to think he was gonna get the nod. So when he doesn't, is that a good look for him to still be the backup quarterback?
Right. Be a good sport about it.
Yeah, be a good sport.
Cam's a good sport.
Right. You know, and he was that was part of his, dare I say, shtick in terms of like how he was acting there. Remember, there were a couple clips of him, you know, running Mac Jones down to give him a high five. You know, he was playing the role as much as he could.
Yeah. Do you think Mac Jones was ignoring him? Because look at it, he was right running like the guy was leaving him hanging.
Mac Jones was studying the playbook in his head. That's what he was doing.
That's right. I ain't got time for the ceremonial shit, Cam. Yeah.
But Mac Jones, you know, the genius Mac Jones was going through the playbook in his head. Right. You're right about that. The whole narrative, Mac Jones, he's such a hard worker.
Right.
Which I don't doubt. He has to be a hard worker because he's not much of an athlete. But right. I've heard stuff about Mac Jones I've never heard about anybody. They're putting it out there that he studies the defensive playbook.
So he has
time to study the defensive
playbook. Right. Not only does he know where everybody on offense is, he knows where everybody on defense is too, and all their sets. And he knows where Belichick lives. He knows, he can tell you, who the police commissioner is. You can just invent shit. Once you start down that road, you can invent everything that has to do with white supremacy. All the stuff we think about, the brilliance and natural leadership and all his teammates, you should hear what they say about it,
Right. And it's funny, you really don't hear, even with like the, Mahomes, who is pretty much, the consensus best quarterback in the league right now. You don't hear that kind of, you don't even hear that kind of stuff about him. We never hear like what a genius he is and how much, how he knows the playbook up and down. When he does know the playbook up and down, you don't hear about this.
Look at the launch angles. It's always has to go something, and clearly with Lamar,
Lamar gets none of that. He never will.
Not even close. Not even close. He can run outrun the whole. So yeah, man. I mean, I think the bottom line is are these guys good? And I'm always taught you. I want to pull for people just as a human being.
Right.
You want to do well, but then there's a part that says you want to also show them that you need these guys, And it's funny how it used to be that athletic was a bad word. Now, if you notice, athletic is a good word.
Right.
It's really a good word. Yeah, and he kind of like the kid at San Diego.
Right, yeah, Herbert.
The other guy, Herbert. Yeah, and the guy is actually a pretty good athlete.
Right.
Athletic was always like the kiss of death.
Right.
So now they have redefined it so that athletic is now palatable. You could be athletic.
Well, you better be. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, they have no choice now because except for Mac Jones, I guess. But I mean,
he's probably a pretty good athlete. I mean, to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what are you saying?
He's just slow footed. I'll just say that. I know. I mean, Mac Jones looks slower than Brady ever did.
Right.
Like he's not escaping the rush.
No. And I think that's another thing I heard him say. What's the name? Who's the offensive coordinator? He was just trying to get somebody like Tom Brady. Kind of get a Tom Brady offense where he didn't have to change his whole thing. It's just a Tom Brady offense. Mm-hmm. And again, slash white, white guy, not really quote unquote athletic. If you just close your eyes really hard, you can imagine Tom Brady out there,
That's a lot of pressure to put on this kid, though, because remember, he looked great. He looked, very good, but it was all preseason stuff. So we really haven't seen anything, when the regular season comes and they start playing real defense.
Don't let them win their first game. Who's their first
game? Oh, it's against Miami.
Is Miami.
Yeah.
The Dolphins.
Yeah.
So let them go down there and carve up a black coach. Let them do that. Carve up a Brian Flores.
Carves
him up.
The legend will grow. The legend will grow. But it is. It's a lot of pressure because now everybody just is comparing him to Brady. So, I mean, that's pretty, that's a high standard right there. I mean, this guy's got to win about five to six Super Bowls.
Yeah. Well, it starts with one game, Miami, you know, so we'll see.
You know, he has the highest selling. I think his jersey sold out. Like as soon as he was announced to start, it sold out all across New England.
I'm glad I got mine.
Let me see it, Bill. Let me see it.
I'll show it to you after the show. All of Alabama is really happy.
Oh yeah, they're happy. They're happy. I wonder if he's vaccinated. If he is, he should promote it and get Alabama's numbers up.
That's right. That's right. That's what he should say. I'm vaccinated. Then they'll disown him. The governor of Alabama will disown him.
Right.
We thought you were one of us.
Oh, man. He's like, nah, I'm trying to make the team, man.
Exciting news. Our pod is partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport we love most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. Here's how it works. Sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em, at playactionpools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to playactionpools.com and sign up for the contest, Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contests, go to playactionpools.com today. They've got Survivor, Pick'em, as well as a cool sportsbook style concept called Build Your Bankroll. Playactionpools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools.
Wait a minute. This is my daughter. Hey, Rye.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, you're on the podcast, Raisa.
I'm on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of my podcast. Bill Ryan. Oh. Hello, folks. This is a special treat. We have my wonderful daughter, Raisa Lopez Roden, who is getting ready. What's getting ready to happen, Ryan, in a couple weeks?
Getting married.
Yeah, my daughter's getting married. So
congratulations.
Yep, we got a GoFundMe page.
Gosh, well, I don't want to interrupt the podcast.
but it's always great to have you on the show, Rye.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah. Do you have any words? How are you feeling about getting married?
I'm feeling excited, nervous, anxious, a lot of different emotions, but overall excited.
Yes, you had a really good run up. You know, you and your Rice and her friends. They have not been cheated out of this experience.
No.
They've had a great time on different continents, the whole thing.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. We've really done it up. And having played, this is the third time now that we've been trying to plan a wedding. So there's been a lot of anticipation for the day. Really excited about it.
I know. All eyes are on Long Island.
Exactly. Pray for good weather.
Yeah, have you done the forecast yet? Like a couple weeks out?
I can only see a 10-day forecast. We're not there yet, but by next week we'll know.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we can do. See if we could see the atmosphere to make sure we get sunny days and all that stuff.
Exactly.
And then we've got the traditional wedding coming up too, right?
Yes, tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be very exciting.
Yes.
So be sure to get back to me, Ryan. I need to know where I get my garb, my traditional garb.
Okay. All right. So you want to call me after?
Yeah, after we finish this podcast.
Okay. Great.
All right, sweetie.
Bye.
There you have it, folks.
How are you feeling, Bill? About how do you feel pre-wedding?
Like her.
same emotions.
Yep, same emotion, nervous, excited, anxious, good. You know, making sure, my tuxedo, looks presentable.
that shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah. No, I was looking forward to it, man. You're a couple decades away from it, but you'll
Yeah, you know? And I don't have any daughters at the moment, so you know.
Yeah. Oh, at the moment, so the door is open. Leaving the doors open for a girl.
I mean, the doors, you know, physically open. I don't think it's going to happen, but you never, you know. I just want to shut it completely, just in case something weird happens.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know.
You never know. That's the beauty of it. You never know. Yeah. So, but if we were in a, what's the name's shoes, in Matt Jones' shoes, we wouldn't have to worry about it. Yeah, you pay for several weddings.
That's true. That is true.
The endorsement's going to be rolling in.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see, man. I'm looking forward to this NFL season, man. We'll see what Mac Jones does. You know, see if he can live up to the hype. And I think, you know, eventually they're going to let Justin Fields. They're going to have to trust him. Trust his acumen and let him in the game at some point. Right. And he'll probably be successful. And the same with Trey Lance. And they're going to, you know, and the people, you know, we'll look back at it then like, we wonder why they didn't start right away. You know?
Yeah. 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 We'll see. Somebody was saying that about Justin Fields. He was on the scout team. Mm-hmm. And some guys say, how come this guy's not starting?
Exactly. Exactly.
What?
No. No, you know, they got to be, you know, they got to convince themselves that black people are smart enough to play the position, I guess.
Right. Still after, you know.
Right. After plenty of evidence.
So as we wind down this special edition, special quarterbacks edition, who do you like in each division? Who do you like? Your favorite team of the Jets. So I don't even know if I should waste time. But do you like your guy? Oh, no, that's who we forgot. We forgot the Jets starting quarterback.
Oh yeah, that's right, Zach Wilson. They plugged him right in. You know,
they trust him. They trust Zach.
Yeah, they trust him. They gave him the keys right away. Yeah, like, how can I forget Zach Wilson? And everybody seems to like him. You know, and I don't doubt he's pretty good and will do well. But the whole point is, I don't doubt Justin Fields or Trey Lance either. Like they're all on the level. So why are those the only two not starting?
Yeah, they just need more seasoning. We just, you know, we don't want to. It's like, you know, right after slavery, you release a slave. We have to take it easy. We don't want to just throw them. You know, right. We have to learn how to deal with freedom.
Exactly. You know, we got to give them. They need media training and. who knows?
Don't know how to use a fork and knife. You know, the motherfucker. I know how to use a knife. Yeah,
right.
We should do the black quarterback standings of all the teams. How are they going to finish? Of all the teams, black quarterbacks. How are they going to finish?
Does two account?
Yeah. Well, he's of color. I think
he's of color. Yeah, let's do of color.
That's why they discovered that. They said, you know. All of a sudden, his stock goes down.
Yeah. Right. So AFC North, you got Lamar Jackson. He's the only black quarterback in the AFC North.
Although, what's the name? If things break right in Pittsburgh, you could have your boy getting some playing time. If Big Ben goes down and his backup can't get the job done, you know, maybe we'll see the great Dwayne Haskins.
Yes. I mean, I can see it. I mean, Tomlin is there. I really don't have any faith in Roethlisberger. I think he's just too old. You know, he had a terrible year last year.
Terrible.
Injuries or no injuries, I don't even understand why they felt like they could bring him back. But you know, so I don't have any faith in him. I could definitely see Haskins getting an opportunity this year, and what he has talent. It's just a question of whether he takes care of business.
Yeah, does he take it seriously? And then, you know, of course, we have Jameis Winston getting his second shot at life, which is great.
That's good. He looks good. I mean, he has a great offensive mind, as they say, and Sean Payton. So, I mean, he should be equipped to bring down those interception totals. And he already throws for yards and throws for touchdowns. It's just, you know, cleaning up the mistakes, and that's what coaching is for, right? So he should be I expect a big year from him.
Yep.
We got your boy Tyrod Taylor in Tyrod Houston. Taylor.
That'd be a great story.
Yeah.
And then we got Teddy Bridgewater in Denver.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater in Denver. He's there. Mahomes in Kansas City. So it's gonna be tough for him to win that division with Kansas City there. But Bridgewater, yeah, it was kind of a surprise. We didn't expect Bridgewater to get the starting nod. From everything we saw, they wanted to give it to Drew Locke, but Bridgewater just beat him out. Bridgewater is he's very solid.
Right. That's the word everybody uses, solid. Yeah, he's very solid.
If he were a white quarterback, he'd been starting all along. He's that solid.
He'd be right.
he might even be a Pro Bowler.
That's right.
It's so solid.
He's so solid. He spends his night right when all the rest of the black guys are going out clubbing. Teddy is studying.
Yeah,
he's studying the whiteboard.
I think he knows the defensive playbook also. He's that kind of guy.
That's right.
So
that's rumor has it. He knows the entire defensive playbook for every team in his division.
Right. How about
what do you do? Steal them?
How about NFC East, Dak Prescott, Dallas Cowboys? You think they can win the division? Not much there.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing. Because then, right down Philadelphia, you got your boy, man.
Jalen Hurts.
Going to get his shot. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Another smart, intelligent, very intelligent, very prepared. I'm sure he knows both playbooks as well. Nobody talks about these black quarterbacks this way when they
know the playbook.
We gotta big that up. We gotta remind people. Jalen Hurts knows the playbook. Okay,
he knows the playbook.
From everything I hear,
inside and out. From everything I hear, not only that, he knows not only the defensive playbook. They say that he kind of gives the defensive coordinator tips.
Right.
They call him the coach on the field.
Yes, he's a coach on the field. He might even know the special teams playbook.
I heard that too. I heard that he knows special because he said I have to learn that because I want to get field position.
Maybe it's an Alabama thing, because he was at Alabama also, as a freshman, took him to the championship game, didn't get to finish the game.
Until he was benched at halftime by Nick Saban.
For Tua.
Unbelievable.
Alabama has, just off the top of the head, there's three quarterbacks starting in the league right now. That's pretty impressive.
Hurts, Tua, and
Mac Jones, yeah.
Which raised a question about HBCUs and will HBCUs ever rise in power, the power they were in the golden years, when Alabama refused, they wouldn't even recruit black athletes. That's another segment. We'll do that segment next.
Because HBCUs are hot right now. HBCUs are hot right now.
Everybody loves HBCUs. For those of you who don't know, when you listen to the show, historically black colleges and universities receiving a lot of love.
Right.
This is sort of post George Floyd.
Right.
Lots of love, lots of money. In fact, I'm taking a tour, an HBCU tour starting Monday, where we're going to go down to Charlotte, North Carolina, Salisbury, North Carolina, to the site of the very first HBCU game between Biddle and Livingstone in the fall of 1892. Actually, it wasn't the fall. I think it was like December 1892, the very first black college game. Now, it appeared almost 20-something years after the first white game.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers played what became Princeton. But anyway, so we're going to take a tour. We're going to visit the Florida A&M University campus, talk about the great Jake Gaither's dynasty, and we're going to talk about the great Florida A&M marching band, how that started, and we're going to talk to a top prep recruit who is not going to an HBCU, who's not getting caught up in the fervor, and then we're going to end up in Memphis at the Tennessee State Jackson State game with your guy Eddie George and Deion Sanders.
Okay, yeah, Deion Sanders, Deion gets a lot of press. lately.
Lots of press, you know. Name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
So that'll be fine. And then, you know, your HBCU, your alma mater, North Carolina A&T, which is not even in a Black conference anymore. I think you're going to be in the Big South.
Yeah, the Big South. They moved to the Big South. Try to get some more money.
Big money.
Yeah.
So the hell with tradition.
Hey, I wonder if they still play. Are they still going to play some of those teams? I wonder. Do they play Central?
I think they'll play a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll play a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, you know, Big South. Big South, yeah. All the way.
Yeah, I actually keep forgetting that. Like every time, you know, you think about HBCU football, I'm still thinking that, you know, A&T is part of that, but they're not.
Nope. And that's another mark of time. In fact, there's some schools. One of my road fellows at Morgan said that she's the only Black girl on the softball team.
Right. The baseball and softball. Even when I was at A&T, there were a lot. I think the baseball team was at least half white.
Wow. Well, anyway, man, listen. This has been a great conversation. I'm like you. I'm waiting for the NFL season too. I think it's going to be a great season.
Yeah.
At the world's most important league, just breaking a bill, printing money, billions of dollars.
Right. Trying to vaccinate players. We'll see what the fans in the stands. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We all take bets on which will be the first team to forfeit because of a COVID breakout. My money's on Tennessee.
Yeah, I can see it. And then, you know, and we're still seeing it. Every day there's news of a player here or there who has COVID. So it's still out there.
So, all right, man. Well, listen, it's been a great conversation.
Yes. Keep supporting. Keep listening. We appreciate it. Of course, you could subscribe and listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Follow us on social media at BrosPod on Twitter and at BrosPod on Instagram. And of course, we are brought to you by BetOnline.
All right, brother. Well, listen, man, you have a great weekend.
You too.
And all of our hundreds of thousands of listeners, have a great weekend. Be safe. Wear your mask. Mask up. If you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. At least get tested. All right, everybody. Let's have a great weekend and God bless.